Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Those are all questions that have been asked since really the dawn of humanity, but for many that has come to an unfruitful conclusion. They keep asking these questions, they keep trying to find out what is the reason for all of these things, but they're looking in the wrong sources. They're looking for the wrong places to answer these questions, and it's not something that is unusual. This morning we're going to be discussing a topic that many probably think is not that important today. It's not something that we really deal with all the time, but I hope you realize by the end of this lesson that it really does have a major impact. That this study is important for you and me today, and this topic is philosophy or Christianity. Now, as a preface before we get into this, I'm not saying that all forms of philosophy are bad. I'm not saying that everyone who has studied philosophy or has discussed this is bad. If that were the case, then I'm in trouble because I studied for this lesson. But I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying, though, is that as Christians, we need to be very careful what we allow to determine our worldview. We need to be very careful what we allow to teach us how we should live our lives, and philosophy, to a large extent, does include that. But let's start from the beginning. If we're going to be talking about philosophy or Christianity, the first question that we really need to determine is, what is philosophy? What is philosophy? This is the definition that I found for this online. The philosophy is defined as the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered as an academic doctrine. That's a lot of words. Basically, what the definition of philosophy is, the study of everything. That really is a breakdown of what this is, a study of everything. What is this world in which we live? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the reason for existence as a whole? Now, as Christians, that is something that we fundamentally do, is we answer that question of why am I here, where am I going, what's my purpose? Well, we understand as Christians that why am I here? Well, God created us in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. He created us for His good pleasure. He created us to seek after Him. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, we see that is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Our purpose is to try to help others to grow closer to God as well. The fascinating thing that I've heard from many people in reference to mankind's origin is they say, oh, so you say that God just created us, as He knew we were going to make mistakes, but He put us on this earth anyway. That sounds like a cruel God to me. Completely negating the fact that God created us and was proud of what He created. He was happy to have a relationship with Adam and Eve, and it was really heartbreaking to Him when Adam and Eve sinned and violated that relationship. So much so that from Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the book of Revelation and all the way to 2024, Jesus has been trying to save what He lost. God cares about humanity. But this philosophy, the study of the fundamental nature of everything, basically. So you might see that definition and say, well, Josh, if Christians do that, then what's the problem with philosophy? The problem with most philosophies today, and I use that word very carefully, most philosophies, is that it's based on this next thought: humanism. Now, that is a whopper of a definition. In fact, it's such a whopper of a definition, I had to do two PowerPoint slides for one point. But this section here, he says, humanism is an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Now, key in on that section there, because that's basically the whole point of it. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. When we look at this definition of humanism, really what it is saying is there is no need for a God. Humanity is capable of taking care of everything themselves. Humanity is capable of doing everything they need to do to make themselves happy. Now, let me see if you've heard something like this before. If we just have the right laws, people will do what they're supposed to do. If we just were able to get everyone to get along, then we would have a perfect utopia. We would have everything that we need. Friends, the reality is most of the issues we're dealing with in America, in the Western world, and in the world as a whole is based on this fundamental concept. That humanity gets to determine what they're going to do. Now here's the interesting thought. Did God give us free will? Well, yes. God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose. But it's not for humanity to determine what is right and wrong. It is rather for us to choose what path we're going to follow. It's just as in the world as a whole, if I were living in a nation, which I am right now, we have laws and rules, right? Things we're supposed to follow. Do I have the right to break the rules? I have the ability. But if I break the rules, I'm going to be held for my actions. I'm going to be held responsible for the things that I do. The same is true with God. God created the world. He set the natural laws in order. He created everything on which we walk. And He told us, follow my rules and you will be blessed. If we violate those rules, which we have the freedom to do, then we will be held responsible for those actions. So why do we connect humanism and philosophy? When we think of philosophy and its origins, its history, we can see examples of philosophy long before the terminology was used. But we can go back in history and we can see the most famous of philosophers would be men such as Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, men that we still study today in universities. But these men had a fundamental basis in humanistic ideology. Now someone say, I got you there. I got you there. These men were pagans. They weren't humanists. They were pagans. Study Greek philosophy. Study Greek history and Greek mythology for a moment, and you will see that it is based on human godhood. That is the whole basis. In Greek mythology, if you do enough great acts or great things, then you can yourself ascend to godhood. All their stories, the heroes were not mostly the gods. In their stories and in their legends, the heroes were humans who stood against the gods, who said, I'm going to do what I want in spite of you, and they were called heroes. You see kind of the idea that we're beginning to notice? These men believed they were capable of creating the perfect world for themselves just as long as we keep thinking enough about it, if we keep reasoning enough about it. So we have our definitions here, and we can see somewhat how this would be a problem, but this is a sermon, so what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say in reference to an idea such as philosophy? Well, if we go back in time to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, many of us might be familiar with this section of Scripture where Paul is in the city of Athens. If you know anything about history, Athens was the hotbed of philosophy. It was the very place where these men such as Plato, Aristotle, others would meet and they would discuss this. Let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 17. Specifically, let's start in verse 17. Well, let's start in verse 16, excuse me. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, verse 17, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. But then notice what happens. So these philosophers, and we'll get into some of these guys in a minute, but they went to Paul and they were talking to him. And notice what it said, verse 19. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. These Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, these were the two major groups in the city of Athens. The two major factions, if you will. And the simplest way of breaking down their ideology was the Stoics believed that one was moral or one was good by what he refused from himself. I don't indulge in emotion. I don't indulge in it. I am a purely logical person. I restrain myself from the things that I want, and because of what I can restrain myself from, I am good. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the Epicureans. The Epicureans believed that we should indulge every emotion. Life is short, live it up. That was their philosophy. So these two major groups bring Paul to the Areopagus. We might know it today as Mars Hill. Mars Hill was a place where philosophers would gather in the shadow of the Acropolis. We would know if we think of Athens. They would gather together and just discuss new ideas. This was their pastime, if you will. So Paul is going, and they believe that what Paul is preaching is nothing more than just another philosophy. And while it is similar in terms of the mindset of we're trying to answer questions, we're trying to talk about a worldview here, Christianity is not just a philosophy. Because most philosophies are theories. Most philosophies are discussions about what I think would be good. This is what I believe the best way of living should be. Christianity is not about this is what I believe the best way of living is. It is the message from God. It is the only way we can live. The only way we can have eternal life is through this path of Christ. So philosophy tends to be an endless cycle of answering questions only by man's reason. Again, we were talking about not all philosophy is bad. Not all instances of this is bad. However, if we are using our reason alone to determine what's right and wrong and determine the path, do you see how there could be a danger to that? When I was at the Memphis School of Preaching, there was one of our classes was a logic class, and in the discussion, the teacher made a statement. There can be statements that are legitimate, but they're not factual. They're reasonable, but they're not factual. I can make a statement that makes sense. I can say, okay, well, yeah, okay, that follows. I can see how that would work. But just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's right. Someone can make the statement, if we were to kill half the population, crime would go down. You're right. In a way, you're right. But that doesn't actually solve the problem. That's not a factual way of going about it. It's not actually going to lower crime. There's just going to be less people committing it. That's all that that means. But with this idea of philosophy, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, Jeremiah, writing this through the inspiration of God, he said, "It is not a man that walks to direct his own steps." What is he saying by that? What does he mean? Remember who Jeremiah is preaching to, who he's talking to. Israel, a land that is simply living their life however they want to, and they're determining the best path that they should follow. They're the ones that when Jeremiah is crying out to them, telling them, you've sinned against God, you've rejected the Lord, they say, just go on, do your thing, we'll do ours. We have wealth, we have comfort, we have everything we need. If God is so against us, why are we prospering? Jeremiah is telling them, it is not a man that walks to direct his own steps. We are a created being who will give ourselves over to some form of God. Whether that be a worship of self or a worship of the Almighty, we will give ourselves over to some lifestyle, to some path. We see this today in our own world. It's not something that is in a vacuum or an anomaly. This is something that happens all the time. Listen to how people talk about their political views. Their political views are their entire identity. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I will vote for whatever side is actually following Christianity. Now, I can believe one side is doing that more than the other. But if my worldview is a Republican, a conservative, a Democrat, a Green, an Independent, any of those kinds of things, friends, I'm making a mistake. Because my worldview is not going to line up with the world. If I view God the way that God truly is, it doesn't matter who's on this earth because they're not the ones who dictate my life. These are philosophies, ideas that men have put together. Let's look at the book of Proverbs. That's Proverbs chapter 14. The wisest man alive, Solomon, writing this to his son. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, specifically in verse 12. Notice what this says and read it slowly. It's a short verse, but notice this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Have you ever had a situation where you were just absolutely sure that you had the right idea about a subject? That you were exactly right, no one could tell you you were wrong, you would have fought anyone who told you you were wrong, only to find out later that you were? I know I have. It's not a fun feeling. When we rely purely on our own reason, our own understanding of things, friends, we will make mistakes. For years, the most educated, the most respected minds in science believed that the Earth rotated, or the Earth was the center of the galaxy, and the sun rotated around the Earth. And they would have killed you if you disagreed with them. We found out that's false. So why is it that we put so much emphasis, so much faith into the reason of men alone? Philosophy of any kind is not how we determine truth. It is determined by truth, or it should be. Colossians 2, 8 through 10, that was our scripture reading this morning. What did Paul tell those people? Don't allow yourselves literally to be cheated by philosophy and vain deceit. Remember the day and age in which he lived. He's talking about the very types of people who are engaging in humanistic philosophy. He's telling them, don't engage in all of this. It sounds wise, but that's just the reason of men. I was having a conversation with my papa one time, and he said that he remembered a day and age in which everyone told you that mayonnaise was incredibly healthy for you. He remembers it. They said, that's what they told you. You should eat more mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is good for you. He said, conveniently, a few years later, mayonnaise is horrible for you. We rely on the reason of men. People make mistakes. But here's something that we start to notice in the church. And this is why this subject is so important. We may be looking at this and saying, okay, this has been a lot of words, a lot of history. Josh, let's get on with it. What are we talking about? Friends, there are many, many ministers of the Lord's church, Bible class teachers, people who claim to be Christians who are teaching philosophy over religion. Amen. Who are teaching Plato and Aristotle and all these other philosophers rather than Almighty God. And it needs to stop. And we need to be able to recognize what it is. Because I've heard this myself, I've stood in classes where this was happening. Where men are getting up and they're teaching all these ideas. But it came from some second century philosopher. Friends, if we're not teaching the Word of God, what are we basing our faith on? If we're not focusing on the Word of God instead of all the theories that we can come up with, what are we doing? We're separating ourselves from God. We're allowing someone else to determine what's right and wrong. There are people today who are going through the Bible and saying, well, God is not actually meaning this because that's not acceptable in today's culture. Friends, God didn't write the Bible to be acceptable in American culture. He wrote the Bible, he penned it through his own saints to tell you this is what reality is. It doesn't matter what the flag says. It's not about that. There was a man on one occasion who said, it follows that we would have similar problems to that of Greece and Rome because we've based our society off of Greece and Rome. Friends, the day and age in which Paul lived is very similar and not far removed from the world we're living in right now. I'm not saying that to be a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying that to say, well, America's going to collapse right now. I don't know when that might happen, if it might happen. It's very likely it'll happen if the earth keeps spinning. But what do we see in our society right now? What is elevated? Is truth elevated? Or ideas? Is truth elevated or identities? Is truth elevated or theories that people come up with a lot of letters after their name? Sound familiar? If our qualifications for teachers of God's Word, for those who are trying to tell you what the path of salvation is purely on where they went to school, how long they were in school, or how good grades they made, that's not Christian. What determines who should be teaching? What determines who should be showing the way? Those who know the book. Those who are mature in the faith. Paul deals with this again and again and again. Because the church in Corinth struggled with it. The church in Colossae struggled with it. The church in Laodicea struggled with it. Because they had been conditioned. They had been showed day in and day out that the intelligent people of your community are these people who are philosophers. Are these teachers, these Jewish teachers even. Friends, it is not about the educational background. It's about how well do they know the Lord and are they willing to show me how they got there. It doesn't matter what kind of an education I have or what kind of an education any other minister has. If I'm not teaching the Word of God, you ignore me. You ignore what I say and you tell me I'm wrong. Because my soul hangs in the balance too. What is philosophy? But here's the real question, what's the difference? What's the difference? We're going to hit this point again. This is more of like the summary. Most philosophy relies on man's reasoning alone to determine truth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start with verse 18. Here, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, remember we mentioned that the Corinthians struggled with this idea. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seem to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. I was watching a video the other day with a friend of mine, and I remember asking, I said, do you ever wonder if God looks down from heaven and listens to some of the speeches that people give, and everyone in the crowd is saying, wow, that was so deep. That was impressive. And God says, were we listening to the same thing? That was ridiculous. That was insane what that guy was saying, and you're acting like it was wise. Paul dealt with these things, showing people that this is not all there is. Remember what he said about his education? What he said about his background? If there was a man who could have really leaned into his credentials, it could have been the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, studying at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a wise man in his day and age, and he was wrong. And he told the Christians that he taught, I count my past as dung for Christ. I'm making tents instead so I can preach the gospel. Talk about a radical change. There was a missionary who was working in China. And he was telling me this story of how they converted a philosophy professor of all things in China. And this man came up to them and he said, I was really curious, so I asked him, I said, what was it that brought you to Christ? Why, I mean, you're a philosophy professor in China. How did you come to Christ on that thought? He said, philosophy never would fulfill me. Every question I asked had another one. He said, it wasn't until I got here I started getting answers. And friends, that's the reality. Philosophy relies on that alone. Humanistic philosophy may imitate some tenets of Christianity, but it's without purpose. Philosophy will tell you it's good to be a good person. You should be kind to people. Why? Why should I be kind to people? That sometimes puts me out. Well, you should be kind to people because that they'll help you. If you help people, they'll help you. Yeah, try going up to a friend and saying, hey, I want to be friends with you because you've got a lot of money. Yeah, they're going to be like, yeah, let's be pals, right? No, they're saying, I'm not going to be used by you. I'm not going to be just used as a tool. Without God, all things are permissible. Man by the name, I believe that was Dostoevsky who said that. But think about that statement. Without God, all things are permissible. Is that any different from what the Bible says? Is that anything different than what the Bible has said? Yes, that man made a statement that was powerful, but it's based in biblical truth. God is the reason that we have this world. What am I going to do with that? See, Christianity is a path to salvation. Humanistic philosophy, a path to more confusion. We notice that in Jeremiah chapter 10. I see that again in 1 Corinthians 14, very similar ideas. If I live my own life the way that I want to, I'm just going to be more confused. See, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, of a sound mind, 1 Corinthians 14:33. He doesn't want us to be more confused. He doesn't want us to be living on this earth going, God, what am I supposed to do? He doesn't want us suffering and saying, what's the reason for this suffering? God, why am I hurting? He said, I told you. The world sinned. The world brought death and misery into it. I've been trying to help you, to get you out of this, because this is not where I want you to stay. But there are many people who will look at God and say, I would rather be here. What's the difference? Questions and doubt is not inherently wrong. Another philosopher slash psychologist by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche made a statement that one of the biggest problems that he has with Christianity is that it's a sin to doubt. He didn't read the same Bible that I did. Because I see all throughout the Scriptures, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I see a verse that says, prove all things, hold fast that which is true. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. We see about the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? They searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Friends, investigation has never been condemned by God. He encourages it. But this is not the way to question God. Question Him on His words. Look at what He says. We can go out into the world and we'll find 1.5 billion ways to live this life. God showed us the way. He says, this is the best that I have to offer. This is the best that the world has, is the only way to me into eternal life. Will you take it? Will I continue to rely on the world for my wisdom? Will I continue to rely on the world to determine what's right and wrong, or will I listen to the one who created it? Friends, the Bible's not just a collection of works of men. It's not just something that some man put together and thought, hey, this sounds like a good way of living. This is the words of Almighty God. Maybe this morning you're not a Christian. You're not a member of the Lord's church. Maybe this has been your only basis of wisdom, has been what men tell you. Wouldn't it be nice to stop having to question? Wouldn't it be nice to not have to sit here all the time and just have more dead-end questions and dead-end answers? He made the path available for you and for me. He made it as simple as possible so that you and I don't have to doubt. We don't have to worry. We must hear the word, Romans 10:17. It's the only way I can have faith is by my knowledge of the word. Based upon that knowledge that I have, the wisdom of God that I see, the evidence He's presented, I believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, according to John chapter 8, verse 24. And based upon that belief, I'm willing to repent of all my past sins to say, I've done wrong. I know that I've made mistakes. I know I've had the wrong mindset, and I want to turn that away. According to Acts 17:30. And based upon that repentance, I'm willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, making a commitment to following Him. According to Romans 10:10. And based upon that confession, that commitment to follow after Christ, we'd be happy to baptize you into Christ, to bury that old man of sin, raised to walk in newness of life, leaving behind all the guilt, the shame, the fear, everything behind, all the questions, all the doubt, gone. And a new life in Christ can start. But maybe you are a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you've been for many years, but maybe you allowed the world to start having more of a say. Maybe you started listening to the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of men has started to turn you away from God. Maybe you've noticed that there's a need to make things right. Don't hesitate. Don't wait for a better day. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you know that, Josh? 1 John 1:9. If you have any need, anything that is holding you back from God this very morning, don't wait. Don't try to gamble with your life. Make it right now, as together as we stand and as we sing.